Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast, where we talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter, and we ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, we wanted to let you guys know that at the end of the month of August, we will be leaving SoundCloud, but you can still find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, and YouTube, as well as a lot of your other podcasting apps. But if you have any concerns, feel free to email us at info@butwhythoughpodcast.com. Enjoy the show. So in today's episode, we are talking about cosplay. And if you don't know what that is, think back to any time you've been on a convention floor, you've seen people selling video games, or you've just seen somebody walking around as your favorite character. That's pretty much it. And we're going to go into why it matters and a little bit of history. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And with a super, super special guest, Alessandra, a.k.a. Allie, from the Rick and Allie stream. How are you doing, Allie?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Yeah, so we like to start things out with a question. And our questions today are, how did you first learn about cosplay? Have you ever cosplayed? And if you haven't, would you cosplay? You want to start off, Allie?
Sure. I would say I saw, you know, back in high school when everyone was wearing the Naruto headbands.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah, those were the days where everyone had those headbands and everything. And that's when I learned a little bit more about cosplay and conventions, because I didn't go to a convention until I was in my early 20s. It just never occurred to me. And then once I finally went to one, then I started wanting to get into cosplay. I have cosplayed before, and my first time ever was like, I got way too ambitious and I tried doing four for a big convention, like my first biggest convention ever, and it was a failure. So yeah, just everything fell apart at the last minute. Kind of learned my lesson and realizing that flying to another state was so much, like, costume work was not smart. And most of the time at big conventions, you'll want to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
This is very true.
Yeah, yes. No, for real. I pretty much go for the shopping. I won't.
Yes.
I'll be straight up honest. The shopping.
Sundays when everything's on sale.
Exactly.
Spend like $600.
More than $600.
Yeah.
I like black out completely, especially when it comes to spending. But, one successful cosplay that I did really well for Alamo City Comic Con was Mad Max, the Fury Road. And I had a friend with me. He did Nux. So I was Max Rockatansky and he was Nux.
And nice.
Yeah. Right now, Rick and I are actually planning on going to PAX South, and we're pulling a costume that we were about to like send to the grave because we just realized we can't take it to New York Comic Con. It was just too much. But here at PAX, we could totally do it since we are in Texas, so
nice.
Not much traveling is involved.
Is it a secret what you're going to do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's one big one, but
it sounds awesome, though.
I'm excited for it,
and
yeah.
And that makes me happy.
Very
excited.
Detailed. Very, very detailed. Very tedious, too. But one really simple one that I don't mind sharing will definitely be, I don't know if anyone's played Crypt of the Necrodancer, but the main girl with like the shovel and everything. So I'm going to do that one just for like a Friday, just easy going. But Saturday, the main day, definitely will be like a big video game, obviously related cosplay.
Nice. Well, Matt and I will be there for sure. We just got our PAX South tickets. Not sure if Adrian has got his yet. Or if he's going, or
how far are we going? It's just so far in the future, and we're 8 hours away. That who knows? But we did it last minute last year, so
this is true.
Was it like a week? The weekend before it happened?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, so we'll probably be there, and
it's fine.
Should have like a cosplay done by then, so you know, more incentive to go.
Spontaneous convention showing. It's always fun.
So, what about you, Matt?
How did I learn about cosplay? Well, obviously, I guess playing games and growing up, I saw all the conventions and everybody dressing up and all their cosplay stuff. I've never actually cosplayed before, I do dress up for Halloween. I think it's like frowned upon if I say it in that context, but would I ever cosplay? I mean, I wouldn't mind, but I honestly say I'm not going to take the time or want to spend the amount of money into making a costume. So if somebody wants to make me one, I will gladly wear it. But unfortunately, I do not want to make my own. And I think that for a lot of people, I think that's the biggest part and the biggest challenge and the funnest part of cosplaying.
It's tedious. It's really tedious. I mean, putting all the work into it, it's freaking expensive. It's a really expensive hobby.
Yeah.
I am not kidding. Like, just one sheet of Warbler, depending on how big, it could cost you like $100.
Oof.
This is what I said. Someone wants to send me a costume. No shame there. Just don't want to spend all the money or put all the tedious time into working on it.
No, it is a lot of work. We were trying to do one last year to take to New York Comic Con, and then like, aside from wanting to spend too much money halfway through it, we're like, I'm tired. I don't want to do this.
Yeah. So I guess for me, I think I actually found out about cosplay very similar to Allie's, Naruto headbands and anime.
Mm-hmm.
I loved anime, and I loved anime so much that, like, not only did I just spend hours and hours on, like, fan fiction forums, but I also just started looking up, like, there's got to be a live-action movie somewhere, and if you Google, like, live-action Inuyasha or live-action Sailor Moon, most of the time it's a lot of cosplay, and that's kind of how I learned that that was a thing. And then, of course, like, seeing the old pictures of, like, the cosplay model who did Lara Croft when they were marketing those games also kind of sparked my interest. And then I have cosplayed. I have not cosplayed like Allie has cosplayed. I bought all of my stuff. I think the most I did was, like, dye my gun belt for my Deadpool costume. And then I've done Deadpool and Lara Croft, but, like, any girl can do Lara Croft because it's just, you know, some khakis and a blue tank top.
Hey, but you pulled it off. I saw the pictures. They look great.
Thank you. I was so happy. Although it was like 40 degrees in Texas, which only happened on the day I wore that. So.
That would happen, right?
Yep. Because that was for Austin Comic Con 2013. But yeah, no, so it was one day it was Deadpool, and then the second day was Lara Croft, and I was freezing my butt off in all of them.
Even Deadpool?
Even Deadpool, because it was a cat suit.
So it was okay. Really, so it was like,
it was really, really thin.
That's what I figured, yeah.
Pro tip, utility belts are awesome for snoring candy bars and snacks when you're walking the con floor. I did that.
Yeah, you need to survive. Dang, being at a convention all day, not eating and drinking, like, you're going to die. Like, you're going to be out. It can be overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, so Adrian, how about you?
I'll back Matt up in his Halloween stuff. Because whenever we do, like, Halloween costumes, and, like, still to this day, like, my parents don't do, and I don't do, like, oh, I'm going to be a mummy. It's usually, like, character-based. Like, my mom this year is doing Linda Carter Wonder Woman and stuff.
Oh, nice.
So, like,
that's really cool.
And she's going to put the effort into it that she would probably do if she ever went to conventions, but they're just, like, not those kind of people. So, like, when I was a kid, like, I dressed up as Darth Maul, and I did all the face painting. And my mom made those costumes for me. As, like, an adult, I've never cosplayed. I think my first, outside of, like, Halloween costume, you know, homemade stuff, I think my first, like, legitimate, like, oh, man, these people put hundreds of hours into their cosplay was in BlizzCon the first time I went, which was, like, the second year they did it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was ridiculous. And this chick rode in on a mechanical turtle. And it was ridiculous.
And it was, a mechanical
that's
turtle.
The best cosplay I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, her cosplay was so good, they had to change the rules of the BlizzCon comic, like, cosplay contest. So, like, you can't do stuff like that anymore.
Oh, wow.
Like that's, like, how good her cosplay was. Yeah, so I've never cosplayed at an actual convention. I don't know if I ever will after helping my significant other, Stefani, with her cosplay for Widowmaker that she did earlier this year at El Paso Comic Con, because, oh my God, it was so much work to put that together. And the fact that she got stopped every 5 seconds for pictures, I don't know if I can handle that. I have no idea how she did that on heels with that 25-pound Widowmaker gun. I have no idea how she did it. The 2 months, 2.5 months of, like, just strenuous work, I don't know if I could do that. But I like doing the handler stuff, so I think I'm just fine with that. I'll just help her with her cosplays and just, you know, take pictures and stuff. I'm good with that.
Can we all cosplay as the Bobby Hill Sailor Moon?
I would pay you guys to do that. I would make you the costumes to do that.
Actually, I would cosplay, because one of my big things is I want to join the 501st. I just need money to put into, like, costumes for them. I think that's the only thing I would do, because I like, and we'll talk, we're obviously going to talk about this later, but I like the community service aspect of cosplaying. So, like, if I ever did, it'd be for that, not necessarily for conventions, because I want to live through the convention.
So, like we do in all our other episodes, there is one person leading. That's his eye, the leader of today's episode. So what is cosplay? So cosplay itself is a Japanese portmanteau. Do y'all know what a portmanteau is?
No.
Yeah, I know what it is. I just want to know if you know what it means.
Yes.
I do.
Yeah, so... a portmanteau is it's a shortened version of a word, and so this is, which I guess I probably could have just said a shortened version of the word costume play. I just really like that word. And this is actually really common in Japanese. So the Japanese have this style of abbreviation where you take the first two moras, and so like that, those are two parts of the first two parts of a word, and you pair them together to make a new word. And so in this case, it would be kasu, I think it's kasupure, and it's translated for us as cosplay or costume play. So cosplay is a little bit more than just dressing up as a character. So a little bit more than Halloween. It is coined as a performance art. And the reason it's performance art is because when people dress up as their favorite characters from films, TV shows, video games, books, or comics, they pretty much try to embody the character. So they act like the character, act them out. They try to be as authentic as they can to the way these costumes look and really just bring that character to life. So more than just showing up to for like a, I don't know. I mean, I guess like listening to what you said, your parents, do, AJ, yeah, it actually sounds really similar.
No, yeah. I think it just depends on like how much effort you put into it. I mean, not even that. Like, I think if you put work into a costume and then you go and, you know, present yourself as that person, I count that as cosplay, regardless if it's Halloween or not. Like, Stefani for Halloween this year is probably going to go as Widowmaker.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, just because it's Halloween doesn't make that not, because she put hundreds of hours into it. So I think that still counts if it's on Halloween.
Yeah, no, definitely. So my bad for stepping in is that. What makes it really different from other stuff is, like Adrian said, it's the time you put into it, as well as the devotion that you have for inhabiting the character while you're wearing it. And this cosplay is also used to explain, is used for different types of role playing. So if you know what LARP is, live action role playing, that is also cosplay, which I really want to LARP. So if you're in Austin and know of a LARPing group, please at me, because I want in on that.
I'm down.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
I know. Rick would be down. No problem.
Yes. We need to do this. So moving right along, the actual term cosplay was coined in 1984 by Nobuyuki Takahashi of Studio Hard while at Worldcon. And Worldcon is the World Science Fiction Convention, but it grew out of what was formerly known before this moment as fan costuming. And this was done or is tracked all the way back to the very first sci-fi convention, which was a World Sci-Fi Convention of 1939. So the reason he created this word was because in Japanese, the word for costume or masquerade, which is one of the terms that had been used to describe fans who dressed up, means something very specific in Japanese. So masquerade is specifically somebody in an aristocratic costume. And so since this was something different, he needed a way to portray that. And that's how he coined the term. So cosplaying involves a whole bunch of stuff. Makeup effects, prosthetics, foam crafting, metalwork, sewing. They're pretty much any way that you can create and bring something to life. That's what you use for cosplay. Allie, what kind of stuff have you done to make your cosplays?
Oh, dang. Where to begin? Yeah, I mean, like, Warbluff, definitely a lot of foam. We're talking about buckles. There's, like, this certain kind of foam that you use as, like, a mat. And you can use that for weapons. There's clear
any Warbluff. Metalwork.
Any metalwork? I wish. I was looking into that. Some welding.
Yes.
One day.
Get that through the door.
Yeah.
But no, just I've done a lot of stuff. You know, Goodwill is really helpful for stuff you need. Nice. Yeah, fabrics, like you can get, for example, sheets. If you find like really cheap sheets somewhere, that will help you out. 3D printing and all that, that's pretty cool too. Insulation foam. Carving. What? Yeah, insulation foam. You can use that for like
super cool. Weapons. Yeah.
So like cosplayers are the craftiest of the crafty.
Yeah, if you think about it, yeah. And some of it's like scientific because you can even use LED lights.
Ah, and that's make things right. glow.
You got resin, you can use resin. It's pretty wild. Like,
yeah, I feel so official. Like, I know everything she's talking about. Because we did all of that for Stefani's costume. Like, we did the foam crafting, we did the sewing, we did like the resin for her, like for the headpiece and stuff. Like, intuitively, it's kind of simple. It's just the man hours putting into it. It just is the hard part.
Yeah, for sure.
Make what? The one.
Yeah, because the foam, you just like get EVA foam, like the stuff that you were in your classroom like as a kid. Those like little things, the mats like going
there. Yeah.
And then you heat it up and then you can foam it into whatever you want. Like, it's crazy. I'm just not patient enough to do it. Yeah. Luckily, Stefani is.
So I guess what piece took you the longest when you cosplayed that you made?
Oh, dang. It's definitely because we're in the process of making, you know, some. So I would definitely say, I'll just give out a little hint, crossbow.
Ah,
but a crossbow that actually I make it to where it can open, so open and close. Yeah.
Dang. Yeah, I could not do that, and that is why I bought mine. But yeah, so obviously there's so much that goes into cosplay that I tried to come up with a good list. But the thing is like Allie said, like it's pretty much anything you can use. Like the list is limitless. It's wherever you can like be resourceful and find ways to bring these things to life.
If you can use it and you know how to use it, because if you don't, you're going to be a little bit SOL. That's what I'm going to say. And a lot of it is trial and error. Because you'll find out what works best for you and what does it. And sometimes you'll realize you don't need to use like Warbluff. You can use foam. But if you seal the foam correctly, I mean, you'll be good. If you don't seal it well, then it'll not look so good.
So foam would be the cheaper option to Warbler, right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of videos out there. YouTube is like the best resource to do some research, because then you could see how things work on a video versus like reading it. And I mean, foam is a cheaper option. Warbler is good. It does have a grainy, like if you're wanting to do something that looks like metal, it's grainy, so it's not going to look that good. Black Warbluff is a lot more forgiving, and it's a little bit easier to use.
Nice. I think too, like on the YouTube aspect, cosplay is one of the big reasons that we have Twitch Creative now too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just the cosplay community kind of like Twitch realized, oh wow, this is like a really big need. We've been talking about a lot about Stefani. Stefani has her own creative channel, right?
Yeah, I mean, the reason like why she did it is because we watched streamers on creative, and she like asked them questions and they gave her answers, and we were like, oh, like watching, like, oh, like, oh, that's how we do that part. And it feels like just a little bit more authentic and like interactive when you're doing it off of Twitch than like YouTube, which I really liked. Because like she asked like a question about like glue, like what kind of glue should she use? And then she gave the cosplayer we were watching, Kara Corvus. I don't know how to pronounce her name. She did like this amazing Farrah cosplay from Overwatch at the time. And she gave her like this long explanation that was like way more than she asked for. and it like helped her in the long run so much. So we love Twitch Creative, specifically for the cosplay stuff. That's why I watch it.
Nice.
I watch it for emotes. I do like to watch people make emotes. I know that's a little off, but yeah.
That's right. Shout out to DJ Tech Live and Creative Sundays. So the fact that you can use whatever you want to make costumes, it also means that you're not limited to just the way these characters are portrayed in the game. You can change them up. And so there is also like some sexy cosplay that happens quite a bit. And it is actually something that is really important, I would say, to how cosplay has developed and become this really mainstream thing. Like, because now it's no longer somebody like, it's still portrayed like fanboys and stuff like that. But yeah, so a lot of like these sexy cosplays have actually led to really lucrative careers. There's a section of professional cosplayers who make a lot of money selling prints and doing meet and greets and stuff like this, just because of the way they present characters in a more, I guess, I don't want to say sexualized, but like a sexy way, like Jessica Nigri, Yaya Han. Yaya Han doesn't do it as much. Jessica Nigri for sure. And they make really good livings on it. And I say livings because it's a full-time job.
Yeah.
Like, hands down, if I could just make cosplay all day and get that, I would. But that all this being said, too, as open as the conventions are for cosplay, some conventions have put in strict rules on what type of cosplay you can wear into the convention expo hall itself. Phoenix Comic Con and PAX are two of the really notable ones, and they've issued really strict regulations in order to keep the environment family friendly. And that means, I can speak for the PAX one specifically, was they don't want, if you're going to portray a character who shows skin, because obviously the way a lot of characters are drawn in the video game world, a lot of it is that you don't need to sexualize that character. It's already done. Was their guideline was you could not be showing more than what that character was showing. And then obviously they had a threshold for which characters got the pass. Like there wasn't going to be any Witchblade there, or Kill la Kill, but they kind of got to be the last word on it. And it was really murky. That being said, they've also gotten rid of stuff like booth babes and in order to create an environment that somebody's 10-year-old can pass by, which I don't know how you guys feel about that. I personally don't understand, because if they walk in the mall, they see giant Victoria's Secret ads.
Yeah, I respect the hustle, man. Like, especially after doing Stefani's, like, if you make a really, really good one that looks kind of sexy, like, I respect the hustle, and if someone wants to buy it, let them make their money buying it there. Like, because you're right. Like, you walk through a mall, like, you see skimpier stuff walking through a mall than you will at a Comic-Con.
Yeah, and it's, like, 50 feet tall and on an entire wall.
Yeah, I agree, too, in the fact that PAX South sells water bottles for $35. That's supposed to be family-friendly, but we have to crack down on booth babes.
Yeah, booth babes can't make money, but you're going to charge me $40 for some coasters. Yeah. Let's say PAX.
Yes.
As a cosplayer, Allie, what do you think?
No, yeah, like I absolutely agree too, because they do put a lot of work, and I mean, I'm impressed by some of it. And like you said, Victoria's Secret ads, like several of them all over the place too.
Exactly.
Like, come on, calm down.
Yeah, because El Paso Comic Con, I guess, had cosplayers that I guess that she would classify as booth babes, I guess. But Stefani recognized them right away, because when she was looking through her, like looking on how to do her stuff, for like the sewing purposes of it, because obviously like they're really good at sewing stuff, since they're not doing like foam crafting and stuff, she recognized them right away and then talked to them for like an hour about like how to sew stuff properly and stuff. So, you know, if El Paso Comic Con cracked down, she wouldn't have met those cosplayers that she's followed this entire time.
And for most people, it's a lot of those cosplayers we like idolize or like inspiration from. So.
And I guess that's kind of a but why, though. I think because we're about to transition into that. it matters because cosplay matters because it is this ultimate form of like expression through something that you love. And it's not, it's a way to bridge your creative side with your fandom. And I mean, honestly, it's everywhere I read when I was doing research, they were saying that cosplay, although it's been here for forever, it's in the midst of an explosion. Like now you're seeing people it's not only the professionals showing up. It's kind of like how it was at RTX. Like it's people who are cosplaying for the first time, but they feel totally free in doing it. And they bought a wig or they bought a shirt and they, you know, they drew some emblems on it. Like cosplay has reached to the extent as well now where like, if you go onto Pinterest, there are hundreds and hundreds of little like outfits that people put together so that you can cosplay during the day. So like you can cosplay and look like Belle, but it's like a day wear cosplay and you're not really wearing like a full Belle outfit. It's just something that resembles what she wore.
Yeah, like I think it's called Disney Bound.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, Disney Bound.
And then there's casual cosplay too.
Yep.
And, so it'd be like just clothes of the character and you're out and about just, you know, you're dressed normally, but you're also like a costume.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's cosplay has just become so open. And I think the idea of being able to do this, like the idea of being able to be your favorite character has just really stuck with everybody. And that's why, you know, you just walk like and Her Universe, which is a really big they started a few years back. But they make geek and nerd fashion for women because like our choices for like superhero t-shirts and stuff like that are usually pretty limited. And so a lot of the stuff that they make is made to directly resemble the costumes of people in movies. And it's a way to wear something that is day wear, but totally resembles it. Like they released these Wonder Woman boots and this Wonder Woman leather jacket when the movie came out. And I wanted to give them all my money. So beyond just the, I guess the other, but why though is why would you put 200 hours into a costume? And one of the big things too is cosplay is also really, really competitive. So a lot of conventions have large competitions with pretty large pots to win. And the base for the competition side is you have accuracy. So that's hair, makeup, costume, props, and how you look on stage, craftsmanship, how well it's made, maneuverability, functionality, quality of the materials, the details you put in, amount of effort, and percentage of handmade to bought or printed items is actually something that they've added pretty recently where they're favoring handmade crafts versus other things. And then there's presentation. So that would be acting, posture, your movements, you knowing the iconic phrases and using them, and pretty much just embodying the character from start to finish. And then the last one is audience impact. So eye contact, making use of the stage, and engaging your audience when you're being judged. And this is pretty much the standard for cosplay competition judging. Have you ever competed in a cosplay competition?
I have not. No, I've thought about it, but no, usually when I do it, it's just for fun. Yeah, because for me, it's more like a creative outlet, because even though the one I'm working on, it is, you know, video game related, but it's actually going to be like my own twist. So for me, it's just like just to have fun and a creative outlet.
Adrian, I know Stefani competed in the El Paso Comic Con one. And how do you like, I guess, did she talk to you about like why she wanted to do the competition and stuff like that, and how like the like I guess the backgrounds, because like obviously like is there more stuff that goes into it for the judging?
So for those who don't know, my wife, she's super competitive and like likes competing and stuff like this. So when she heard there was a competition, it kind of like upped her like level of detail and stuff. So I think the like the fact that she was competing helped her be like more perfectionist when it came to her cosplay. El Paso Comic Con is kind of a smaller Comic Con, so it's not like the level of like detail in what goes into like the judging isn't nearly what it is for say like a Phoenix Comic Con or like a New York Comic Con, which we found out doing it. So Yaya Han was there, and usually like they go the day before or whatever, and like a couple hours before, and like the judges will specifically look at like the costumes and things like that for like a quick overview up close, because all they can see during the actual competition is them for kind of far away to do like the presentation and stuff. So there was another Widowmaker there, and who beat Stefani out for like that category. And I personally think Stefani's was better in terms of like her gun was better. She did like a lot more foam crafting. But we went to go talk to Yaya Han the next day, and she said, "Well, if I would have known that you guys, you know, 3D printed that gun from scratch, if I would have seen your like sewing up close and stuff, you probably would have won. But since we don't really have like the craftsmanship part of it in that competition," she kind of lost points there. So I would just say, like, if you're interested in competing in contests, just look into the rules and see what goes into it. Because if it's like really just more of like a presentation thing, like the El Paso Comic Con one is, then put more emphasis into that. And look who's judging too. Yaya Han is a lot more about the like the sewing and stuff. Just that's what like she normally does. So a Firefly like dress cosplay beat out like a 7-foot Groot for like best in show, which just blew basically everybody's mind in the hall. But Yaya Han's the one doing the judging, so she cares more about how much they sewed it and how much time went into that, opposed to a 7-foot Groot and like a 8-foot Gundam, who both lost to a dress, which blew my mind. But it was fun. She really liked it, and she wants to do it again because she liked being stopped every 5 seconds, but she also liked the competing aspect of it, because it like makes her upper game to do better next time and everything like that. Definitely varies. Like, obviously, the bigger the convention, the more that's going to go into it. Like, she was interested in doing the Phoenix Comic Con one, and for like the Phoenix Comic Con, you had to like send in pictures of your progress, and it had to be like 70% handmade and all this stuff. But for the El Paso Comic Con, she just showed up, and I mixed like a 30-second clip of her walk so she can walk across the stage. So it definitely varies. And then you have ones like the BlizzCon one where this chick literally drove across on a giant walking turtle, and then like they had to change the rules because of that. So it definitely varies for sure.
I think TwitchCon had that giant Squidbillies monster truck, right?
Oh, yes. Man, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Like the cosplay itself was a giant monster truck with a guy inside with a hat that was the Squidbillies guy.
Wow.
I like that. I like that a lot, actually. I'm just super excited. I kind of have an idea of what you're doing, like character-wise. I think just from what you said, I'm super excited to see it at PAX. Now I want to go to PAX even more now.
Hell yeah.
Before I get into the rest of the Buttwithers, I actually wanted – we got a lot of fan Buttwithers this episode, like a ton. So I'm going to try to cover as many as I can. But what I will do, and I'll probably do from this point on, is I will actually include all of these fan Buttwithers in our show notes. So if you want to read them, you can head over to buttwithopodcast.com, and I will include everybody's. But for the sake of time, I shall only read a few. So I kind of ordered them by how we were talking about things. So this idea of it being a creative outlet and competition and a great way for creators, I kind of put all these fan but why those up there. And this is from David Dunlap via Facebook. "For my family, it's not about being recognized or getting tons of pictures, but about doing something together and having fun. Whether it's crafted from scratch or purchased or thrifted, it's a journey to become the character for a few hours and spend that time together as a family, even if our cosplays are from different fandoms or eras."
I love family cosplay.
Yeah.
At the El Paso Comic Con, there was this this family dressed as like Trunks, like the Vegeta family from Dragon Ball Z.
That's awesome.
Was dressed up. That's super awesome.
Mom was Bulma, the dad was Vegeta, and it was amazing.
We had the Pokemon family at PAX South. I can't even remember the two things, but I know the
it was Misty, Ash, and the baby was Togepi.
That's cute. And then they had Squirtle, and they referred to all their kids as in cosplay. Like, come on, Squirtle.
That's awesome. I actually think one of the best cosplays I'd ever seen was this two-foot human who was wearing a Predator costume.
Yeah, that one's really cool.
This was a family. His dad, it was at Austin Comic Con.
What's a 2-foot human?
A baby. A child.
I was like, what?
Not Peter Dinklage. It was a little baby or a little kid. My apologies. No, so the dad was really tall, and he was alien. A xenomorph. There we go. Yeah, he was a xenomorph. And then the mom was a female version of Predator, and then the kid was Predator. And it was super crazy and awesome. And I think they ended up taking home the group prize for that, actually.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Like, it was insane. Have you seen – what was your favorite family cosplay?
I've actually never seen one in person.
Really?
Yeah, like, even at the conventions, I've, like, never seen one. I know most of the time I'm, like, distracted by, like, everything that's going on. And
by shiny statues?
Yeah, oh yeah, all of it. And then, I mean, like, I don't know if you've ever been to New York Comic Con or like a big one like that. It's just, it's overwhelming, and there's everything there, but there's a lot of amazing cosplayers, especially out on a certain area on the floor. So I've seen cute couple ones, but I haven't seen like a family.
Ooh. Yeah, you need to see some family ones, mostly because the kids, like, there's something about like the kids cosplaying that is just, I'm not even particularly fond of children, but I think they're cute as hell though.
They are super adorable, especially when they play their good roles.
Yeah, like that little Squirtle that was running around.
Okay. I've seen people cosplay their dogs. Like they'll have their dogs in cosplay. Yep. That's cute.
I love that too.
Yeah,
I love that too. Leia has an Ewok costume.
Oh, that's awesome.
Blossom has an AT-AT costume and she hates it.
She can't fit in that Ewok costume anymore.
No, she probably can now. She's lost weight.
Just get her a Jabba one.
No, she is not a Hutt.
Oh.
Okay. Anyway, next one. So our next one is from Jessica Cochran via Facebook, mostly because it's just really, really fun. I love making costumes, even though I'm definitely not the best seamstress. I like going to thrift stores looking for materials, and I love looking at pictures of other people's cosplay online. I like it best when it's a group project, when my whole family gets involved and we all make costumes to match. I think I'm ultimately just a bit childlike or childish, and I never stop loving playing dress up and pretend. So I go to costume events, cons, Ren fairs, theme parties, and I love every minute of it. I also like using cosplay in my aerials, as I've done trapeze routines as Mario and Ariel before. Taking the concept of a costume, designing it, putting it together, going to a con, and being recognized by people all brings me such great joy, and I always wind up beaming the whole con. It was hard to be a Narcissa Malfoy, I can never pronounce her damn name. Narcissa? Are there any Harry Potter fans? I'm one, but I never actually said her name out loud. Because I know it's supposed to be Narcissus. So, okay. Anyway, it was hard to be Narcissa Malfoy because I was trying to make a sour face the whole time, but I just kept smiling.
I kind of hope you get blasted because you mispronounce that name.
I'm going to. I've only ever read
crazy about Harry Potter.
I know. I've only ever read the name. I've never had to like say it out loud.
No, I think that's a great one because really, even though I wasn't on like the floor taking pictures, like knowing how much work we put into it as like a family, because it really was like a family project, was probably like the best part of doing it. So
that's awesome.
I like that one.
I enjoy it. I think it's cool because you talked about being on like the smile and joy. You know, I guess just since we've kind of been Quinn's handlers for the last three times, how much, I guess, fun you can tell how much she's sweating or can't see, but taking pictures with everybody. And especially some of the little kids that like look terrified of her, but they really want to like say hi, but they don't know what to do.
Yes.
She just like really enjoys it.
Yes, yeah.
The second and probably one of the biggest, but why though, is that cosplay creates a really inclusive space for cosplayers who may not have a place somewhere else. Obviously, if you grew up as a geek or a nerd, at least from like, I guess I'll put a like a boof, I don't know, I guess our generation, pretty much, it wasn't always the best. I think kids have it a little better now, which is a really good thing. But I think cosplay is a community and an inclusive community, and that's the biggest, that's another but why though, and so these fan but why those reflect that. So this one is from Quinn, our cosplayer. I started cosplaying because I saw other people doing it. I thought it was cool and was so stunned at the craftsmanship that I had to try it myself. I absolutely love the cosplay community. Everyone is so supporting, so friendly, and so helpful. It's like being in an extended family. You might only see them once every other year, but when you all get back together again, you're sick of thieves. Just with about everything you do, there are drawbacks. The obvious one is that cosplay is costly, no matter if you make the costumes yourself or buy them. A personal drawback is the stress that it puts on you. You often make a costume for a specific convention, so it becomes a battle against time. It's also stressful to show other people your costume. It's scary. You made your costume by hand, put your heart into it, and it's frightening to have a piece of you potentially being judged by thousands of people. Cosplay matters because it's inclusive. It gives people hope. Seeing your favorite character walking, talking, breathing, it inspires you. It makes you want to engender all those characteristics that endear you to that fictitious person. Just look at all the people who dress up like superheroes and visit sick children. And then I'm going to do... I did not realize how many we had. I'm just going to do two more, and then that's going to be the end of it. And you can go to butwhythepodcast.com to read the rest. Which we really, really... So, like, we really, really appreciate you guys sending us these, and we want you to keep sending them. Which is why I'm going to start putting them on the website. I want these to be highlighted because we want to interact with y'all. So, yeah. So the next one is... from Corey McCoy via Facebook. Latino Comic-Con yesterday was an important reminder why it matters. Kids get to see their heroes in real life doing things that help others. To be able to see people that look like them is huge. Some kids may not have enough positive role models in their lives, and that interaction can help their parents. Cosplay matters to me because myself and so many others have used it to make a real difference in our communities. My first real cosplay was a reward for my nephew as I taught him to read with comics. He really wanted to be Wolverine, but Logan needed his best friend, Wade. And then the last one is from Jermel Floyd via Facebook. I've always wanted to cosplay, but I never knew how to sew. My mom tried teaching me once, and after 30 minutes, I thought I was a pro. But after failing to make my ex a costume, I thought cosplaying wasn't for me. But then life happened, and a year later, my mom taught me to sew again. This time, I actually listened and learned. So I started making costumes for myself, and it felt great. The creativity and challenges felt so worth it once it was all complete. Jesus, I remember wearing women's leather tights from Forever 21. Now I can make them. It gives me confidence, and that's important. Cosplaying is a community of amazingly supportive people who truly encourage others to succeed in all aspects of life. I know nurses, bus drivers, moms, and even government workers who cosplay. It brings us together. You can't see skin tone underneath armor. You can only see hard work they put into the costume and the amazing way they happily interact with others. I love making costumes for others and introducing them into the world of cosplay. Even though there are problems within the cosplay world, nothing is perfect except Beyonce. If more people cosplayed, maybe the world would be a little less judgmental. What do you guys think?
I'm going to leave it to Allie as the expert cosplayer.
Why do you think cosplay matters to you?
Just creative outlet, mostly just to have fun. That's pretty much it. Because I'm competitive with certain things, but I'm not competitive with cosplay. I do like to add my own twists, and it's mostly just to do things, to be creative, to take like pictures of it, create something. And I know it sounds like I'm repeating myself, but it's been really helpful for me, especially because I know about a couple of years before I even started, like I was at the lowest point in my life, and then I used cosplay as an art form, and then it just like it totally changes my mood too. It makes me really happy to do it, to have a hobby, to get myself into something. So for me, it's really important. And then obviously the community that you're with everyone that you can connect with, the fandom that you're dressing up with, is really awesome too. And then to get to connect with other people who are dressing up is actually super awesome. Like, it's a family. It's a big family. And you don't feel alone. You're doing something creative because, I mean, God knows I could be doing something else that's not like that. It's awesome. It's an art form. It really is.
No, that's really awesome to hear. And then he just, you know, reading all of the fanbook why those two, like the type of, I guess, empowerment that comes from being able to cosplay and the happiness it brings is just, it's awesome. Like, it's more than just a costume.
Yeah, it really truly is.
As far as things go towards making this inclusive space for people in the community, when I was doing research, a lot of the things that came up were people who felt a little outside finally feeling in. And one of those are, I guess, people or women who would consider themselves geek girls, because there is that mentality. I mean, I know it's happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you, Allie, where it's the whole, like, you're a fake geek girl type thing. And oh, people ask you, like, really intrusive questions. Like, do you know the name of the seventh version of this character? Oh, you don't? You're not a true fan or something like that.
Let me start out by saying I work at a retro video game store, and I'm the only girl there. And the amount of stuff I get is something else. And most of the time, a lot of people will ignore me, and even though I had told them something about whatever game, they'll go to my other coworker and then they'll ask them and they'll repeat the same thing.
I feel that pain. That happened when I worked at GameStop.
Yeah, so then you know.
I mean, and so like this type of like dismissiveness that happens sometimes, like this need to like prove your geek card. A lot of people were, and I read a lot of blogs from cosplayers who were just like dressing up as this character and putting this amount of time into it. Nobody could really argue that I loved this fandom, and nobody could really ask me, you know, she was like, obviously some people did ask me, you know, to make sure I wasn't just dressing up as this character. She said, but by and large, cosplaying had helped her. And other women, like the resounding thing was it gave that point of contact. Like nobody was talking about or trying to disprove that she loved this fandom. They were just wanting to know, oh my God, how did you do that? What did you watch to find that costume? You know, what version is this? And it gave it this immediate connection to somebody versus kind of like what Jermell said in his, like you, when you're in cosplay, you can't, like, you're not differentiated from other things. Like, you can't see skin color. I would argue, even though you can't, like, obviously gender is a component, like, you just see the love of this character.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's a bonding moment for a lot of people. I know I've seen people cosplay, like, something obscure, and I'm like, oh my God, I know what that is. I need to go talk to them. Like, that type of connection that happened is something that has been really helpful for people who may feel ostracized within this community. And then it's all, cosplay also really helps people integrate into these spaces because of it gives people confidence. It helps people deal with social anxieties. Another thing that cosplaying has been moving towards, and I would say, at least from what I was reading from a few cosplay groups and forums, like cosplayers themselves aren't as bad when it comes to a character, somebody portraying a character of a different race or a different size. So obviously, like, we know the internet's like a really bad place, and people work their butts off for characters. And a lot of the times, like, the trolls on the internet will say really bad stuff if you're portraying a character of a different race or you're a different size than the character that you're portraying. But at least a lot of the stuff that I've seen in, and I could be wrong on this, but I know a lot of the stuff that I've seen in the few cosplay groups that I am in are actually, they're working really hard to really encourage members within their community to cosplay what they want to cosplay, regardless of anything else. But at the same time, you do get the calls from the internet people who are like, authenticity, why is this brown girl being this not brown girl? Or why is this, you know, heavier set person Superman? Like, that's, it can suck really bad. And I think I read a lot of articles written by people who had experienced that, and it can make you want to shut down. But there are places within the cosplay community that you can go to and talk to and have that, you know, and have that reinforcement that this is just somebody being, you know, being a butt. You know, your cosplay is still valid. Like, don't let them talk about that. And I think the other side too, that cosplay really does for creating an inclusive space. Cosplay is the ultimate form of like being able to represent what you love. And like, honestly, give this, like, give kids a super awesome, like, avenue towards seeing heroes in real life of any, you know, of anything. And with as many cosplayers as there are, like, there's probably a little, there's probably a cosplayer that looks like a little kid. And that, like, that little kid seeing that will, like, really make them happy.
So on this, like, I guess, authenticity thing, I guess a question I had to ask, and I guess I was wondering, so I don't, obviously, I don't really care, like, what the purchase is. What, I guess the only thing that I'm really not a, technically a fan of is, like, if somebody dressed up as Batman, but they colored their suit, like, red. Or, like, or when they do, I mean, I've seen all the time where people take their characters, but they mix and match the colors, like, or some crazy thing. And I'm personally not a fan of that type of stuff. I don't know how, I mean, obviously it's a little different, but it goes to the, I guess, talking about the authenticity of the character. And so I was wondering, I guess, if that bothered anybody along with, obviously.
I only accept black suit Batman. No other suits will be accepted.
You'd be surprised what colors people do.
No, I've seen, I've seen it. I gotcha.
I don't even like when they do it with sports teams with all the crazy gear.
I think, like, one of my favorite ones was this Run-DMC Stormtrooper. It was a Stormtrooper with the, like, that was, like, a tracksuit type thing, and it was awesome. That was, I love it.
It sounds awesome.
Like, I love seeing all the variants, because I guess for me, I'm just kind of like, there are so many variants of different things out there, like, in the comic universe as it is. But then again, like, I hate the way Spider-Man suit is, so I can totally understand personal preference on color choices. What about you, Allie? I mean, because you said you like to put your own spin on things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, if I like something, I like something. But I'm not too picky, because there is creativity. And some people even do it as a joke, but they did it regardless. You know, you'll see, like you said, red Batman, they'll probably do, like, Hello Kitty pink Batman just for fun, because maybe someone made a meme of it, and then they're going to take it to the convention, because sometimes, like, memes are cosplays, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you'll see a lot of that.
I would totally take a picture with Hello Kitty Batman. But I also just really love Hello Kitty, so I'll take a picture with Hello Kitty anything.
Anything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, like, actual couple at New York Comic Con, both in Deadpool, one's bride, the other one's groom, and it was like a proposal, but it was actually real.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, for me, it's still like a sense of creativity.
Yeah. What about you, Adrian?
No, it probably doesn't really matter that much to me. Just like the overall theme of, like, cosplaying is like a different race, different size. One of the big reasons why I personally don't like cosplay, because I would like, if I ever did something, I'd like to be, like, authentic to it. But there's not very many brown, muscular characters for me to do outside of, like, Cyborg, like, Blade, Jax. John Stewart. It's like a handful of characters that I would feel comfortable doing. But, you know, it's just personal preference. Like, I wouldn't dress up as, like, Batman, I don't think. I'm too brown for Batman.
You could be Batman.
I don't want to be Batman.
I feel like you do the Martha voice so well.
God, no, please. Let's move on from Martha.
Then you could be Batman.
If I did Batman, it'd be making fun of that movie, and I would just be yelling Martha throughout the entire convention.
I totally want you to be Batman.
That would be awesome.
Only if you dress up as Superman, and I can just follow you around asking why you said that name.
Only if I can, like, look lost.
That works for me. All right. PAX cosplays are picked out.
Yep. We need to get a video of you guys doing it from, like, across the hallway. just have Matt saying Martha to me, and then, like, shot to you, like, all the way across, and then you just yell, "Why did you say that name?"
Down. All right. We're going to give you a run for your money, Allie. That's going to be the cosplay to look at for PAX.
All right. I just want to see Matt in King of the Hill Sailor Moon.
See, that needs to happen.
Yes, it does.
I'll make it.
Yes.
I will totally wear it.
Oh, that'd be so good.
I'm not opposed to wearing things. Like I said, I still want to put the time in actually making them.
We should crowdsource you a costume, and the listeners get to pick it.
Ooh,
that would be fun. Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would definitely be really fun.
You'll Sailor Moon out of that.
So another part that comes into the whole just, you know, cosplay what you want to cosplay as, and really just embracing what you want to do, is the idea of crossplay. And this is gender bending cosplay, and it's defined by cosplaying as a character of the opposite gender, and it provides an avenue for reimagining characters and using a different type of imaginative skill. Gender play cosplay is also a subgenre of this, and this is a stylized.
Sorry, I was gonna go with this gender bending. I guess it's kind of, I just wonder, just, I'm assuming, I don't know, I guess how you feel, but I guess to me it's weird with the gender bending cosplay. I just want to put out there, because like a lot of characters I don't mind, but there are a few characters I guess I do mind, but it's weird because like if I saw a female like Batman, I would kind of like, I don't really care for like that. But then if I saw a female like Spider-Man or even Deadpool or even possibly, I don't even know, some of the other characters that I've seen, or even like when Quinn does, when she does Deathstroke, it doesn't bother me at all. But for some reason, there are a few characters out there that kind of like, I don't really like this.
Yeah, there was a female Batman at El Paso Comic Con, and she got mad when people thought she was Batgirl. She was a female dressing as Batman. So even though when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's a badass Batgirl costume. But she's like, oh, I'm Batman.
Yeah. So. I could understand somebody getting mad at that, though. But also that there's a Batman picture behind Matt, or Batgirl picture right behind him, too. That was the first thing I thought was, well, there is a female version of Batman. But obviously it's not Batman's costume. And I think that's one of the things that's really like particular with with crossplay is like taking that costume specifically and making it feminine. I also think too, like I don't think Quinn really counts in gender bending or like crossplay necessarily, because she makes Slade as Slade. Like she doesn't make him as a female Slade, if that makes sense.
And she wears masks and stuff, so you would never know that was a girl until she takes stuff off.
And that's
I guess then the question is like, are we talking about just a female character, a female like dressing up as what would be portrayed as a male character? Or are we talking about, I guess, a male character completely redoing the costume into a female character?
See, and this is one of the things that I didn't find too much on a lot of like the sources I was looking at, because gender bending cosplay would be taking a character of a different gender and making that character your gender.
Exactly. And I did that with Max Rakotansky.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did that as like Max Rakotansky and I turned into like a female version. Yeah.
Cool. And then I think, and this, if I'm getting this wrong, like please at me, because I don't know too much about it and the sources were just not really good at explaining it. So I do want to know more. If you have an article, send it my way. And then there's like gender play cosplay where you're actually embodying the cultural ideas of what that other gender is while you're cosplaying. So like when Quinn does Deathstroke, she's actually doing male Deathstroke, if that makes sense. I think that's where that comes into play, but I'm not too sure.
Allie, do you have any thoughts? Because I'm getting a little confused now with this bending.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, from what it sounds to me is that, let's just say, I dress up as Batman, but I actually act like a male. Like I'm a male, so that's what it sounds like to me. Like I'm just
cosplaying.
Yeah, cosplaying.
Yeah. I wouldn't cosplaying. Cosplay that as like gender bending if you're not bending the gender of the character.
See, and that's what confused me as well, because like both of these things were under crossplay, and when I think of what Quinn does as crossplay, because she's actually as the other gender, versus gender bending like what you did, Allie.
Yeah,
but again, like the categories and subcategories were really murky, but it was, I just thought it was really interesting, because I mean it's actually like gender bending cosplay is really, really prevalent, honestly. I mean, I did one.
Yeah, that's true.
So I actually see a lot of it. And I don't know how much of that has to do with Adrian's like Adrian explaining, like there aren't a lot of, you know, muscular brown characters to dress up as, you know.
There's even less muscular brown women to dress up as. So
yes,
you can be Iron Fist. You can be tall and lanky.
I don't want to be Iron Fist. I'd be Bobby Sailor Moon before I would ever be Iron Fist. Just so we're clear.
Allie, is there any character that you would not like want to, like, I guess, portray, I guess, a cross gender bend thing?
Like, I would not want to see it, or I wouldn't want to do it myself?
Both.
I don't know. I mean, I have a limited amount of what I want to do. I don't know. I'm open to anything.
I think that's kind of how I'm. Like, I just want to see like awesome cosplay.
Yeah, I even like silly ones too. I mean,
silly ones can be the best ones sometimes.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that eventually. Is like, because I know some people, since, you know, like, I spent 500 hours, you know, doing this, and then I see somebody that just threw something together, like with a cardboard box or something. Some people tend to take offense to that or something, so I didn't know how, I guess.
Well, sometimes some of them are pretty clever. If it, like, the Sims one, where they make it look all pixelated, if they're naked, and then they got the little green diamond on the top.
Those are awesome.
Simple, but it's like, that was clever.
Cardboard box diva from Overwatch is the best diva.
So with all the cosplay stuff, there are obviously some drawbacks. One of the things that has happened with, and we kind of touched on in our true crime episode, like, women face like street harassment and harassment all the time. It's no different. And then sometimes it can be worse when you're actually wearing a costume that is revealing and walking the floor. So I can include this all in my show notes. There are numbers to go behind this. But what you need to know for the most part is about 2014, there were reported incidents that actually made a lot of news. One of them being Adrian Curry running down somebody who had groped her friend and hitting him with the butt of her Catwoman whip and waiting until the authorities came. And so the thing is that people started, after this happened, after it got a lot of traction, at least from what I found, it seems that more people started interacting with the conventions, and the conventions don't actually have statistics on how many reports that they get on this type of sexual harassment, sexual assault. But what we do know is that conventions found it necessary to actually start sending their staff organizers and their programmers to classes to find out how to make this, I don't want to say stop, because I mean, to like do their best to try and eliminate it and try to curb it. So one of the ways they did this was including cosplay is not consent. Markers on the badges themselves, including them in swag bags, putting out notices and making con officials more open to actually for contact. Like, it was easier to find people. A lot of the numbers are like from when that first happened, but it was large enough for the conventions to actually have to do something about it.
What's your experience with that, Allie?
I haven't had any experience. The only annoying thing I've ever experienced is like at a big convention, I would be somewhat dressed up, just like, you know, one day looking somewhat post-apocalyptic, another day in a Sailor Seifuku, and then I would change. And then when I'm in my regular clothes, they actually stop and take pictures of me. But usually I haven't had any issues because my boyfriend is always by my side. So he looks scary. No one wants to come around me.
That was one of the main things that I was worried about going into the El Paso Comic Con. Because not that, like, the Widowmaker costume itself is, like, super revealing, but it's, like, you know, she's exposed it to some extent. And that was one of the things I was worried about. But I think I'm an intimidating guy for the most part. So, like, everything was fine. Like, no one did anything. You know, people came up and asked, like, hey, can I take a picture? Hey, can I put my arm around you? Or hey, you know, is this okay? Is that okay? Kind of stuff. So we didn't have any problems when she cosplayed, and I was very, very excited about that. And we even asked Yaya Han at her, her like AMA thing, and she said that she felt like it was getting better.
Yeah.
In that regard, so I think it's getting better.
Yeah, no, I think it definitely is. I think part of it from the con, I think the other part too is like, because cosplay's gotten bigger, I think people are becoming more savvy to the idea that, hey, there is an etiquette to interacting with the cosplayer.
Yeah. I think the hammer thing helps too, because like, if someone's there, I think people are less likely to do that kind of stuff. So I don't know how it would have been if I wasn't there, but at least when I was there, everything was fine. Everything went over without a hitch.
Yeah.
Thank you, Danny Rand.
You're just going to call him Danny Rand now?
Oh, you're the most God. Danny Rand out of all of the hosts on this podcast now. Yes. So you're Danny Rand.
But to go with that, I think the fact that there are like handlers a lot, because I mean, now when we, at least from all the ones we've been to, there's very few cosplayers that walk around that do not seem to have at least some sort of like handler or person or anybody with them in any type or form. So it definitely seems they've definitely, I guess, adopted the buddy system finally.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever like even defined handler. Do this thing, like
we've been saying. Oh yeah. Handler. Do you want?
But it's like just.
I was hoping one of them would. I was just saying it because everybody else was.
Yeah. Like, I'm like thinking about. It. I'm like, oh yeah, it was my wife's handler. Like that just doesn't.
Well,
sound
do you want? Right. Well, do you want to explain it, Adrian?
I mean, you just walk around with the person who's cosplaying, like you did with Quinn. You made sure she didn't bump into anything. You know, I made sure like if the gun got too heavy for her, I picked up the gun or I took pictures for her so people could take pictures. I followed her around with my camel pack and just gave her water for 8 hours straight, just making sure that everything that they need is taken care of.
Yeah.
And also warding off people.
You're my boy, Danny.
Oh, God.
But I'm glad you haven't had any problems with your alley. And that, I think that.
Yeah, so. Like, because I'm tall, too. So I'm like an inch away from 6 feet. So people probably see my heels and they're like, whoa. Yeah.
You are an Amazon.
I am. I truly am.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with you. It's all good.
Quinn wrote a blog kind of explaining the different types of etiquette that she thought was important when at a convention and seeing cosplayers, especially ones you really want to take pictures with. So I'm just going to go ahead and just highlight the ones that she said. So first, if you want to take a picture of or with your cosplayer, make sure you ask first. Don't hog the attention of the cosplayer. Do not touch. That one I'm going to go into a little bit is because she said that you should always ask before you touch a prop or the person because you don't know what parts of their armor could be really fragile or their weapons. And people put hours and hours of work into this. Like, and then obviously, like, you just shouldn't invade somebody's personal space unless they invite you into it.
I got a question because I know she had also mentioned, like, no tipping required. I don't know how, I guess Adrian can answer for Stefani or Allie. I don't know if that happens
at
all.
No one ever tried to give her money.
Okay.
That would be awesome, though.
Yeah. If someone gave her money, we would be cosplaying and everything. But no one tried to give her money at all.
Yeah. No, I don't. So she kind of went into that one. So her next one after Do Not Touch was No Tipping Required. And she said that it does happen, apparently, that people will try to, like, tip you.
We saw it once. It did happen once when we were with her.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't notice it. Oh, I'm also not aware of a lot of things. and then the next one is, if they're relaxing, do not bother them.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you want to sit down? Alley? Let me sit down.
Especially if you're walking around in heels. Like, when Stefani sat down, like, no one bothered her. I think, one, because she kind of has, like, an intimidating face, like, when she's angry or, like, tired. So I think that probably helps. But, like, when we sat down or, like, she ate, you know, no one came up to ask her, like, hey, can you put your heels back on and stand back up again and take a picture with me? So.
Yeah, no, I did have people stop when I was at Anime Matsuri dressed up as Reese from Animal Crossing.
Oh, nice.
And, I mean, like, the heels I was wearing were painful. They weren't even, like, high or anything. It was just uncomfortable. And I just want to sit down and have a snack, you know, drink some water. Like, let me be for a little bit. I think you know when to take a picture, and that would mostly be, like, if I see that they're shopping a little bit, and they're, like, you know, talking to some of the vendors, just let them be. But if they're out on the floor, you know, right where, like, everyone's, like, standing up, being displayed, trying to take their pictures, then that would be, like, the best time ever, because they're ready for it, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like that is a tricky situation, though, because it is one of those at a larger convention that you may never see that person again.
True.
And that is why you ask.
Well, obviously, that's why you ask, but I know, like, the whole, like, you know, like, you see them talking sometimes, like, I know sometimes it's like, oh, maybe we'll just, like, walk around in circles so we don't lose them or something.
I've totally done that before.
Not to be, I mean, it's not to be rude or anything else, but it's like, there's literally times where you might never see that person again.
That's true.
Yeah. So do you have any, I guess, etiquette tips to add?
We pretty much just covered it. Just, I mean, asking is number one, because that would be considered as consent. And that's pretty much it for me. and let me relax when I need to. Like, if I'm eating, let me shove, like, the whole entire whatever I'm eating in my mouth for a little bit.
That seems fair. That seems very reasonable. The last thing we want to cover is the fact that a lot of people are using cosplay to do good in the world, to do charity work and to do, you know, community outreach and child outreach. And I think one of the most famous stories actually is of the 501st Legion's response to a girl who was bullied for liking Star Wars. And if you don't know who the 501st is, they're, I guess, AJ, I want you to explain it because you, like, love them.
Yeah, they're just a global, because it's like the 501st, and then you have like the rebel part of it, and you have like the Mandalorian mercs and stuff, and they just basically dress up in Star Wars characters depending on like which group they're part of. Yeah. And they go to like hospitals and they go to charity events and stuff like that. So they've used their Star Wars-ness for good. And they're, no matter like where you're at, because they're a global thing, like there's a 501st in your area, like in El Paso, it's the Red Sands Patrol, and every weekend they're at our children's hospital without fail. So,
and that's how it is with I think there's the Rebel Squadron, which would be kind of like, because all of these are also like very specific. So like the Rebel Squadron would be anybody in the Rebel Alliance who I think aren't necessarily Jedi, and then you have the Saber Guilds who are specifically for Jedi.
Yeah, the Mandalorian mercs with all of like the bounty hunter kind of stuff. So.
And so they do awesome things. There's like Star Wars societies pretty much wherever you go. And the reason this got so much is, I mean, obviously it sucks being bullied for something that you love. And the 501st, when they found out about her, they built her a custom made, stormtrooper outfit. And they were like, you know, we're here, you know, we got your back, you know, don't worry about those bullies. And that actually turned into a thing where, once she outgrows that, she passes it on to other kids who need that type of encouragement and inspiration. So that type of outreach is really good. And I know that the Jakku Temple Saber Guilds here in Austin, they're for Central Texas. They do a lot of stuff for veterans and Make-A-Wish Foundation, raising money. And they're at every convention that you go to take pictures with them. And so, like, I would recommend, like, if you see Star Wars cosplay groups at a convention, look at what they're actually doing there. Look at the Make-A-Wish information, find out where they're going to go next and stuff like that. On top of that, you have cosplayers that dress up and go to schools and libraries. So a lot of libraries have been utilizing cosplay to bring in people to dress like the characters in the books to get kids more involved in reading. And then, of course, in San Antonio, there's Cosplay for a Cause. Atlanta also has Cosplay for a Cause, and they're spelled differently. But it's just a group of people who love cosplay, but also want to use their cosplay to get involved in charity work. And the bulk of this is helping children. That I think that's a really great note to kind of land to kind of end on, is that like cosplay are great hobbies, great competition, great creative outlets, great inclusive communities, and then you can actually use your cosplay to start impacting other people too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it did it for me, so I completely agree.
I think it would have been awesome being a little kid and like getting a stormtrooper outfit, or like seeing, you know, Wonder Woman come to my school and like, you know, encourage me at like physical stuff, you know, like, because I know that some of them go to do, you know how like every kid has to do like the presence, like fitness tests or whatever, stuff like that.
It was Captain America, like in.
Oh God, yeah. Yes. Well, now you can have real Captain America.
I think he's a war criminal now, but it's okay.
I'm just gonna like end it there, and I guess any last thoughts, guys? Adrian?
No, I mean, cosplay's awesome. we've like gone to conventions. One of my favorite things, like since we went to PAX, from our PAX recap episode to the El Paso Comic Con episode, one of my favorite things about conventions in general is the cosplay. And especially after Safwani did hers, I have like a brand new appreciation for it. And it's like now even my more favorite part of cons, because I know how much work goes into it. And, you know, being able to do good and stuff for like 501st and the Rebel Squadron and Saber Guild and stuff like that, I think is even a bigger plus, because it's something to do outside of the conventions. Like, you can take it. It's not just a Halloween thing, not just a convention thing. It's like you can go improve people's lives with cosplay, which is awesome.
What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, going to sound, I guess, a little bit redundant, but yeah, just the fact that there's the community aspect of everything's cool. We've been to all the conventions we've been to. We try to check out all the cosplayers. We not only just taking their picture, but talking to them, either like how they're doing, and I guess, you know, what it takes to make their costume, and I guess why they decided to do this. It's been interesting, especially as we've met a lot of people over the past like year. And
you, Allie?
If you are wanting to cosplay, I would just say do it. Don't get too ambitious like I did the first time and want to do like 4 costumes for a big convention. But, you know, do something small, practice a little bit, do your research, and just have fun. If you want to compete, complete, but mostly just have a good time. And that's pretty much it.
So, Allie, where can they find you?
You can find us on Twitch. We do stream Sunday and Monday at 9:30, unless otherwise. But it's Rick and Allie. And then for Facebook, it'll be the same thing, Rick and Allie. You know, play on words like Rick and Morty.
What time zone is that, Allie, just for our listeners?
Central time, my bad. Gotcha. We go from, like, we'll do retro games to anything modern nowadays. It's just whatever we feel like. We did all of Outlast 2, and now we're on, we're doing the Necromancer on Diablo 3.
Are you going to do anything with creative, like with your cosplay stuff?
I'm thinking about it. I'm also thinking about doing it with art, because I am an artist, and the number one thing I also do is makeup, because I love special effects makeup.
Nice. So. Yeah, we'll be there. Do that. We'll be there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we're just getting it set up for that. And then we're also preparing for one more thing on YouTube. We're going to be doing Wasted Wednesdays. So on our Facebook, we'll announce that. Yeah, so we're going to get pissed drunk pretty much. And we're going to play video games, like really difficult stuff, like probably speedrun a Mega Man or, yeah.
We will definitely include all of that in the show notes. And I will include her schedules as well. Oh, do you have, did you start your YouTube already or...
We're in the process of it.
Oh,
we'll definitely upload the streams on there for anyone who misses it.
Yeah, so make sure you stop by, give them a follow, check them out. I'm totally down for Wasted Wednesdays.
Just hell yeah.
Watch that. So yeah, as always, you can find me at Oh My Mithrandir on Instagram and Twitter. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93.
And Matt?
You can find me on Twitter at datm18, DATTM18.
And on the other side of the wormhole.
We will be getting back to that at a regular scheduled time. We've had some hiccups.
So make sure if you think we missed anything this episode or you just want to hear us talk more about a subject, let us know. And Matt will cover it in his little sideshow. And do you want to ask Allie the final question, Matt?
What do you want the outro music to be?
Just that you could do that. No, I'm kidding. Dang, I don't know. I'm kind of boring. Anything 8-bit for me. Well, anything synthwave because I've been in that kind of mood.
I don't know what synthwave is, Allie.
No.
Well, we're gonna Google it and throw it on there. Let's do this.
There you go. There you go.
Yes, we'll surprise you.
Awesome.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Bye.